talk football for a minute, talk some boxing. We are joined right now by a very good friend of the program, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. He covers the NBA and boxing, also a host for DAZN, which has the Anthony Joshua heavyweight fight this Saturday from London. Very busy man, as always. Chris Mannix is my guest. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing, man?
Great, bud. Great. Great to have you back. Thanks for doing this. Now, you've had a couple of days to think about it, Chris. So, what did you make of what you saw on Saturday between Canelo and Triple G?
I still think the same thing I felt immediately after that last belt. You know, terrific fight, evenly matched guys. I scored the fight for Golovkin by a couple of points, 7-5 for Gennady. But as that final bell rang, Jim, I said to myself, I'd be okay with a draw or 15-13 the other way. Anything beyond that, I would have scratched my head out a little bit. And sure enough, we had one judge with a draw and, you know, two other very good judges, including Steve Weisfeld, who I think is, you know, arguably the best judge in boxing, had it 15-13 for Canelo. I mean, Canelo Alvarez, he earned that win. He took the fight to Gennady Golovkin. He landed the heavier shots. He was out-jabbed. He was outlanded, but these are imperfect statistics. I had no problem with the decision going as something different than what I had on my card.
Chris Mannix joining us. All right, you pointed out that going into that fight, the big question was about Canelo and conditioning. Before we get into Canelo's strategy in the fight, how impressed were you with his conditioning and the fact, Chris, that in the middle rounds, it seemed like it was Triple G who was fading and not Alvarez?
Yeah, incredibly impressed because, look, this was not only a big moment for Canelo's career, but to many people, including myself to some degree, it was going to be a referendum on his status as a clean fighter. I mean, if he had gone out there and been gassed early and gotten knocked out, I think his entire career would have been tainted. I think we would have been talking about, well, he tested positive here. He had to have been doing it before. This was a guy that was unquestionably clean for this fight, that was the better conditioned fighter for 12 rounds. I didn't see a single lull, you know, outside of maybe a 10-second spurt here or there when he got hit, you know, for Canelo Alvarez. So his conditioning was flawless for this fight. This is what I asked his trainers afterwards, and they said they weren't even worried about the conditioning. They were just focused on other things like power shots because they wanted to back Golovkin up.
Couldn't have been more impressed with his conditioning, but then there's the strategy. Chris Mannix, my guest. What do you make of the strategy from the first fight and how Alvarez's team completely changed it up for the rematch?
A brilliant strategy, and I've been pretty critical over the years of Canelo's trainers, Chepo and Eddie Reynoso. It goes back to what I saw against Floyd Mayweather. You remember that fight? It was one of the worst strategies I've ever seen in boxing. You know, they had a guy physically bigger than Floyd Mayweather, and their strategy for 12 rounds was to try to box him on the outside. I couldn't have been more disappointed in that strategy, and I believe I suggested at the time that, you know, at 23 years old, Canelo needs to change up his training team. Now, Canelo is fiercely loyal to these guys, and they really showed their value in this fight. I mean, nobody believed that that Canelo was going to stand there and trade punches with Golovkin. I asked Tom Loeffler, the promoter, immediately after the fight. I said, "How surprised are you?" He said, "Extremely." We thought he was going to move. We thought he was going to fight off the ropes. He fought a completely different style, and that's a variable in all this, Jim, because, you know, they made a great adjustment in Canelo's corner to fight this way. I don't think, and I didn't see any kind of real adjustment from Golovkin's corner to adjust to what they were seeing.
Chris Mannix, my guest. I want to be very clear about this, Chris. Not only did I not see that coming, that switch in strategy, I'm kind of blown away by it. I mean, there's his physical conditioning, then there's his mental strength, but the willingness to take a punch from a guy, Chris, that nobody ever wants to take a punch from, what did that tell you about Canelo that he stood right in front of Triple G?
I mean, he must have learned something in that first fight about his chin. And his chin, Jim, has been a point of contention for really the last 8 years. Now, he's fought some good opponents and, you know, never been stopped by any stretch. However, you go back 8 years when he was on the undercard of one of Floyd Mayweather's shows, and he was fighting this journeyman named Jose Miguel Cotto. It was actually Miguel Cotto's older brother. He fought Cotto in that fight. He got rocked in the first round, knocked back against the ropes, almost stopped in that fight, which would have completely changed his career. Since then, there's been some questions about whether this guy has a chin, but whatever happened in that first fight, whatever shots he took, he clearly realized, his trainers realized, that he could walk through all that stuff, that Golovkin, as big and bad as he was, just couldn't hurt him. And if they had that kind of knowledge under their belts, that strategy was as good as it gets.
Chris Mannix, my guest. All right, we talked about Canelo and what that fight meant to him, not only in terms of his career, but his entire reputation. If his reputation, Chris, was on the line going into that fight, what does Triple G's career look like coming out of the fight? Again, a really close fight. If the couple of judges scored a different way in the 12th round, we have a different outcome. Is it only one loss, because it's his first loss? Is it only one loss, or does it set up some questions about Triple G and his career? And do we now question whether or not he is one of the all-time greats with that loss?
I do think that you have to kind of take a step back from the all-time great conversation when it comes to Golovkin. He just doesn't have a signature win on that resume. Now, I say that with the full understanding that there were some of the top middleweights, even super middleweights, that were running as fast as possible to get away from him over the last 5 years. His inability to get a top-flight opponent has everything to do with all the other top opponents, including Canelo, who spent a year plus avoiding that fight as he kind of matured into a middleweight, and I think waited for Golovkin to age a little bit. So I think we take a step back from anointing Golovkin in that kind of Hagler class, the Hopkins class of the great middleweights of their of boxing's history, but I don't know that it diminishes him as a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't know if it diminishes him as one of the great middleweight champions in terms of, you know, obviously the 20 title defenses of all time. It just it knocks him off that pedestal of being among the all-time greats.
All right, but do you think he won that first fight? And if he gets credit for winning that first fight, is he on that pedestal with the other greats?
He probably is. I had a draw the first fight, Jim. I thought the middle rounds were all Golovkin, and the first three and the last three were Canelo Alvarez, largely through the conditioning issues that we talked about a little bit earlier. So, yeah, if he wins that first fight, you know, it obviously sets up a natural trilogy, which we'll probably see anyway. Yeah, maybe you do look at his career a little bit differently. But he's been plagued by the fact that, you know, besides Canelo Alvarez, who's out there in the middleweight division that makes you excited, that opponent that you get excited to see Golovkin face? I mean, look, guys, you know, the top-ranked guys who promoted Manny Pacquiao for years will tell you that, you know, Pacquiao benefited so greatly from being in a weight class of other superstars, from the Miguel Cotto's, the Margaritos, to De La Hoya, to Mayweather. He had a factory line of opponents that he could fight on any given night. Gennady Golovkin just has never had that cluster of opponents that could make him a star.
You mentioned Pacquiao, Chris. Is there a worse idea than Pacquiao Mayweather again?
I don't know. Like Pacquiao me is probably a worse idea, but other than that, I don't know.
I'd rather see that, my friend.
I have no interest, Jim. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it's no surprise that Floyd puts out a post like that on the day that Canelo Alvarez, who fights under Oscar De La Hoya's banner, is having a card. Anything to draw attention away from De La Hoya and stick it to De La Hoya again, Floyd Mayweather's going to do. I mean, you know, Pacquiao, look, there's a million reasons why this fight will probably never happen. One of the more, you know, reasonable ones is the fact that Pacquiao, I think, is like $32 million in debt to the IRS. And, you know, he's never going to fight in the U.S. again. And Mayweather, for the last decade plus, has been fighting in Las Vegas every single time. So among the many reasons why that fight's never going to happen is that Pacquiao will probably never fight in the U.S. again.
Good, because I think that I would rather fight either one of them myself than watch the two of them fight each other. I think I'd rather fight both of them at the same time than watch the two of them fight each other and pay for it.
I don't think you have to worry about it either.
Thank you.
I mean, Floyd, I was talking to someone that would know about this, and he was telling me that this hasn't even come up in a real conversation in any talks they've had with Floyd. And I think Pacquiao is likely to get in with Amir Khan at some point, either before the end of the year or early next year. That's a fight, Jim, that makes way too much sense. I mean, Khan needs a big-name opponent. He can sell out a stadium in the U.K., so there's no tax issue in the U.S. And I think a Khan-Pacquiao fight right now is a 50-50 type of fight that both guys should be running towards.
Good. Chris Mannix, senior writer for Yahoo Sports, covering the NBA and boxing, also a host for DAZN, which has Anthony Joshua, a heavyweight title fight this Saturday from London. Great job, Chris. Thank you so much. Always good to have you on.
Anytime, Jim.
Take care, bud. Chris Mannix, one of the best. One of the best of the best.